For members only, Golf Smarter number 374, published on March 12, 2013.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Drive like the pros with author and TaylorMade's mat specialist, Michael Neff.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome to Golf Smarter for members only, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, no, I appreciate your time, Doc. This is good, because you've got a really interesting book out called Drive Like the Pros, brand new, and it's based on the TaylorMade's MAT-T system, M-A-T-T system.
Yep.
Now, as we were talking about, my philosophy on the Golf Smarter podcast is if you have a strong mental game and you understand strategy, you can lower your scores faster than just by working on your swing mechanics. And you agreed with me.
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to that. I definitely think, and I think it ultimately depends on how bad your swing mechanics are or how bad your mental game is or, you know, how bad your, how bad your, you know, your strategy is. I mean, I think those are all things. If you're very bad with strategy, but you hit the ball pretty good, yes, by getting a little better strategy, you can definitely improve. But I think it's tough to globally say that without, you know, really being able to identify where the weaknesses really are.
Absolutely. But one of the things that I'm motivated behind that is so many times I am watching guys just take their driver every single time, trying to hit it as far as they can. On a par five, they'll hit their driver, then they'll hit their three wood as far as they can each time. And not necessarily setting themselves up for a great approach shot where they're the
yes.
most comfortable. I would much rather hit a 110-yard shot than I would a 40-yard shot.
Well, that's kind of the secret to finding out. I think, you know, everybody's a little different. I think it depends on how well you can drive it and how well you can hit that 3-wood. You know, whether you'd rather have a 110 or 40-yard shot would probably depend on how good you are, what your averages are with the 3-wood. And so your point being taken, and it depends on how much trouble there is in front of you. So what's the risk reward?
Right.
And I think your point is well taken in that, you know, hey, look, the one thing I will say is, you know, working with these tour players is the advantage that they have with the caddies of and playing these courses so many times over and over again and having practice rounds before the events and being able to see different pin placements, mm-hmm. they know exactly where the trouble is. They know exactly how far to hit their shots and how far they can hit their shots, and they know where their misses are.
Mm-hmm.
So if their misses, if they occasionally miss a shot left, you know, they know that they'll never, you know, kind of go in that direction or they'll stay away from that. So they do play the percentages, and they really, we as average golfers are not as good as tour players, obviously. We definitely could learn a lot from that. Take what we know we're good at and manage ourselves away around that. I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, and they still have bad shots.
Of course. Yeah. And, you know, they manage those bad shots very well, though.
And that's the key, isn't it? It's managing those bad shots. One of the best lines I've ever heard was, never follow a bad shot with a stupid shot.
Yeah, well, that's a good, that would be, I wish I would pay attention to that more. Sometimes you're so mad that you hit a bad shot that you just, you're not thinking straight. And
right.
Well, that having that caddy is such an advantage, huge advantage to keep you calm. Or
is that really the advantage of having a caddy? Is it, he's well, like pulls you back a little bit?
I think there's some advantage to that. Yes, I do. And I think the advantage also of having a caddy, just somebody to bounce ideas off. You know, hey, look, what do you think of this? And there's like, no, you do not want to go long on the 14th. That, you know, you're better off long here than short, and here's why, because of that pin. Mm-hmm. And having somebody kind of explain that to you is a huge advantage. Knowing exactly how far you hit the ball, or they can kind of be more objective, like, hey, you don't want to try that shot. I've seen you hit that shot 5 times today. You haven't pulled it off once. Don't do that. We're going over here. Mm. And having that extra wheel, I think, is just I see it as a huge advantage for the tour players. I think it's a massive advantage, actually.
Yeah, and it's obviously not what we're going to be talking about your book,
no.
But how do you create that caddy in your own head?
I think that's a great, there's your new book, caddy in your new head. No.
I just want to be able to write the acknowledgments in your book. How's that?
To be honest with you, I think there's a lot of truth to you know, the concept of what we're talking about here in this book, or in a nutshell, is educating yourself on what you do. why do you do what you do? And once you understand why you're doing what you're doing, what you do, then it's just a matter of plugging those answers in, you know, and I think that's what the caddies are trying to help. So that's the caddy in your own head. How's that? Okay. Knowing what you do and what you do well and what you do bad and being able to manage those things.
Yeah. I had one guy on the show, I think it was John Grund once, and this was just after Tiger was having all of his, you know, it just came out in the news how bad his stuff. And he made the comment that Tiger has no ego. And I was like, "What? How can you say that?" And he goes, "I'm talking about on the golf course. Tiger will never try a shot that he hasn't practiced 1,000 times.
Yes, I do. I would definitely agree with that. And I think some of that's evidence why you don't really see him, you know, going at pins a lot. I mean, you don't really see him taking a lot of risk when he plays, you know, and I think that's he's able to execute these crazy shots sometimes that, you know, most of us can't, but because he knows he can do it and he might be able to get close to a pin because he can execute that shot. But if he doesn't, you know, he plays the percentages, you know, you don't go after this pin ever on Sunday ever. Because if you miss it a little bit, you made double. So you always, you know, stay away from that pin. You can go at that pin, stay away from that pin. And you just kind of know, you know, the law of the averages, you know, that's why you don't see too many people take it super low on Sundays. You know, you know, don't see a lot of guys firing at the pins. Or when they do take it low, it's because they make everything. You know, they're not like stacking it 5 feet all day long and shooting 65. So I think that knowing what your limits are and knowing what you can and can't do is really a critical part of the game.
Well, then let us use that to come into the book, what you can and cannot do. One of the things that I found entertaining about the publicity material that was sent out is that people aren't asking what your handicap is anymore. They're saying, how far do you hit your driver?
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting concept. I mean, the driver is, you know, with the balls nowadays and the new drivers, you know, the ball just goes farther than it's ever gone.
Yeah.
And the USGA is doing pretty much everything they can to stop, you know, it from going much farther. And,
right, but they're lengthening all the golf courses.
Well, that's probably going to slow down too, because they figured out that's pretty expensive, and I don't know if that really pencils out.
And yeah, for one event every 12 years or
yeah,
something.
Maybe,
it's
maybe,
like,
maybe.
What about the rest of us? Come
yeah,
on,
exactly.
Man.
You know, and the club manufacturers, they actually can make clubs that go way farther than the current clubs that they sell. But they're limited on what they can do. So
but they still have to come up with new product every 6 months.
Exactly. So, but you know, and I think that's been one of the reasons, you know, why that's been a huge factor in the club manufacturers, you know, world. They just simply, it's amazing that they can continue to improve the technology when, you know, the USGA's got their hands tied.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't even want to talk about
exactly.
We don't even want to talk about the putter situation. Right
well,
now.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, yeah. We've had multiple conversations with a variety of people on that, from club makers to reporters. Okay, let's talk about your book because there's a couple things about this book that I absolutely loved. One, it's not long.
Not a long book.
128 pages.
Probably sneaked through it, you know. And I think I read it, you know, front back. My brother just read it, and it took him like an hour and a half to read.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can get through it pretty quick.
And part two of what I love about your book, lots of pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Tons of pictures.
Tons of pictures. Yep. But they're really useful pictures because they've got these key measurements, you know, alongside all the pictures, and these are 3D graphics. Why don't you explain what the MAT-T system is by TaylorMade and what you do with them and how it's going to help us?
So, great question. The MAT-T stands, it's actually the MAT system, Motion Analysis Technology by TaylorMade. That's what the MAT-T stands for, by TaylorMade. So basically, about 12 years ago, a company called Motion Reality Inc. or Motion Reality Incorporated down in Marietta, Georgia, they're a motion capture company, and they did all the motion capture animation for Lord of the Rings and Polar Express, King Kong, and a bunch of movies. And they went to TaylorMade and said, "Hey, we think we can do something in the sports world." And so they TaylorMade and them kind of co-opted on this project. And I'd happen to be working with one of the executives at TaylorMade at the time, and so I took a real strong interest to this. And so we basically we opened up the very first TaylorMade Performance Lab at Aviara in San Diego, at the Four Seasons Resort there, and basically that's what I've been doing ever since, is opening up these labs. And globally, we have like 40 global labs now, and they're just basically, in a nutshell, what it's motion capture. You put these reflective markers around your body, and then on the golf club as well. And there's 6 high speed cameras that track the motion of these, and it basically creates an avatar, much like how they make animated movies. And the most important part of motion capture is it allows us to attach math, where we get into the 3D world. It allows us to attach math to what's happening. I think the avatar part's really cool, that you can see yourself from any angle. But what I really wanted to know was the math. I want to know what the shoulder angles are doing, what the body lines are doing, what the club's doing. And motion capture allows us to be extremely accurate. We can measure where those markers are within 2 millimeters inside of that volume. So we can tell the difference between the different markers, and that's what gives us all those different lines. So once we get you in 3D, we can measure or attach math to what it is that's happening. And that math is really the secret to the success of that product. And it's extremely helpful for club fitting, for instruction. And well, we basically, the book is, we took 118 of TaylorMade staff players, PGA Tour players, and we created a composite avatar. We basically averaged all their numbers. So once we figured out how to attach math to everybody, we created a composite swing, and that basically tells us what the average tour player does. And then we did another one. We did another composite of 5,000 amateurs. So we have basically what the average amateur does versus what the average tour player does. And this book basically describes the difference between what the average tour player does and the average amateur does. And it's very detailed. There's a ton of pictures, and it builds, you know, in a nutshell, it kind of tells you what the differences are and how an average player can look more like the tour player.
Oh, and this is like, it's all about the metrics. It's all about the metrics. I mean, this is kind of like Moneyball for golf.
Yeah.
Taking all those numbers.
The answer to your golf game, if you are a 15 handicap and you're not getting better, or you don't feel like you're getting better, the answer is in the numbers. You literally, if you understood what the numbers, what your numbers were and what they need to be, and now you can actually get from point A to point B, if you understood that, you would improve. It would be almost impossible for you not to improve. And that is really ultimately what this book is about. And if you understand what your numbers are, then you have some place to go. If you don't, then you're just guessing. So one day I'm flipping my hands to close the club face to keep it from slicing. The next day I'm swaying my weight to the back, and that seems to be working. And, you know, you're just out there playing, you know, having a sword fight with your golf clubs and trying to figure out, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's just a constant battle. Once you understand why it's doing what it's doing, then you can actually progress.
What I like about this idea is I've always had an issue that is there a perfect golf swing?
I think that's a good question. And I think that there are, I don't know if there is such a thing as a perfect golf swing, but there are things that every good golf swing must have. There is a law irrevocably in the golf heaven that says, if you do not have a certain set of numbers, it is impossible for you to hit the ball a certain way. So in other words, you know, I don't care what your swing looks like. If you don't get to a certain place at impact, you will never hit the golf ball like a tour player. And that's the bottom line, is that it's not like, you know, some of these tour players are, you know, superhuman, and they can do things that no other person on the planet can. In fact, I see every day 15 handicappers hit these beautiful high push draws that look just like the push draw that the tour player hit. but they can't do it over and over again. So obviously they can do it once. Well, why can't they do it twice?
They can't. They can do it. They just can't recreate it. They right. You know, it's like, go ahead and hit a draw on this one. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to hit a fade. Yeah, right. Go ahead and give it a shot.
I see amateurs hit tour shots every single day, but they don't understand why they hit it.
Yeah.
And how to make it happen again.
Yeah.
And once, now that we know what the tour player does, and we actually measure it instead of just guessing, now that we can actually attach math and measure it, now we can actually have something to draw against. And now we can mathematically figure out what we need to do. And I think that word math and golf, that's a really scary thing for people. The technology word, really, people, you know, fight that. They think I'm not good enough, or it's, you know, too big for me. The bottom line is it simplifies the game for you. It actually makes it easier for you to understand. Once you know the numbers, now it's just, okay, 1 + 1 = 2 is a lot easier than, okay, 1.5.
Tilt your shoulder to the right.
Straighten
your elbow.
The technology simplifies it for you. Uh-huh. And I think that's the biggest challenge that us as golf pros have right now. Is we have all this great technology to help people, but people are a little scared of it. And we need to make it more fun and more simple for people to understand and educate people. And that's in a nutshell what we're fighting.
Well, when I asked the question, is there a perfect golf swing? And what I was about to say when I said what I like about this is my frustration in taking a lesson in working with a pro is they'll do video of your swing, and then they'll put you up against Tiger, Sergio, Ernie, right? They'll put you up against these guys, and it's like, I'm not going to hit. I don't have the flexibility. I don't have the strength. I don't, you know, don't do that to me. So what I liked about this is that you took hundreds of golf professionals and turned it into like the perfect golf swing. If I can use that word.
Yeah, that word's probably not the right word.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know
the
what
ultimate.
The word is. The ultimate. And I think the better word is the average. You know, this is what the average player does.
Okay.
You know, an
okay.
average tour player. And I don't know. Obviously, the shot that average tour player is hitting is something that we would all like. You know, and so I don't know if there is such a thing as a perfect swing. But again, there are rules that every perfect golf shot have to follow. And you know, the club has to be coming from the inside. It cannot be coming over the top. Your weight has to be forward. It cannot be shifting too far to the right. There's no such thing as a tour player that stands up on his backswing. This has never happened, and it never will. It's impossible to play at that level. If, as you take the golf club back, you actually stand up or your head moves up. Kenny Perry might be one of the few who has a little bit of that in his golf swing, but he kind of does it early and then he kind of loads down. But there's very few people that have ever done that. And in fact, the longest players like Dustin Johnson and Bubba Watson, they actually go down. As they take the club away, their head goes down and they kind of compress down towards the ground and they stay in that kind of motion until, you know, right actually before impact. And so we've really tried to simplify this. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect swing, but there are things that every good swing have in common. And it's very important that we understand what those things are and what do we have to do to get those things in common. Jim Furyk looks totally different than Sergio Garcia.
Than anybody.
And so why does Jim Furyk and Sergio Garcia, if you saw them, I've seen them both up close. I've watched them hit golf balls on the range. And if you didn't look at them and you just watched their ball flight, it's really similar. They look very similar. So what is it? What do they do that creates basically the same numbers? The ball has this almost identical numbers between those two. Sergio's a little faster. So what is the ball? The ball doesn't know anything. The club told the ball what to do. And so, you know, Jim Furyk looks totally different than Sergio, but yet at certain points of the golf swing, they have things in common. And Sergio or Dustin Johnson have a completely different golf swings, but yet when they hit certain parts of the golf swing, they do have things in common. And you cannot play the game at that level if there aren't some key things that that line up. It's not possible until we get, you know, into those positions, which, you know, the book describes very clearly.
Yeah. It's funny that you say it's not a perfect swing. It's not, you know, it's average. It's the, you're taking the average of the player and you take that information and you become an above average golfer.
Yes. So if you basically follow the principles of the book, you will hit it farther. And we see that every single day. And even though that tour player is an average tour player or the average composite swing of the average player, we took 5,000 swings of average players, and we've identified what they all have in common. And we've identified what all the tour players have in common. And that's basically what the book is about. It's like, how do we get from where I am now to where the tour player is? So there's drills in the book that kind of help you understand that. But my goal in this book is to really educate the consumer on here's what you do and here's what they do and here's how you get from there to there. And it's not as difficult as you might think.
Are you an employee of TaylorMade?
No, I'm a contractor. Basically, for the last 10 years, I've been going around opening up these performance labs for them. I also have a lab here in Portland, Oregon that I work on my own. So I teach myself and I do a lot of club fitting. And then we open probably 5 or 6 labs per year for the last, probably 7 or 8 years now. And so what I do is I go and set up the systems and I train the golf pros how to use the system. And I explain to them what all the numbers mean and, what they're looking for. And most golf pros are able to pick it up pretty quickly. And it seems a little techno guy. It's just not. It's
a little geeky,
simple.
Huh?
It's simple. It's very fun. It's very informative. We sell so much product out of these performance labs because we are able to. We're not hoodwinking people. They won't buy the clubs unless they get better, period. If they don't see better results, they're not paying for the golf clubs. So that is ultimately where the rubber meets the road for these things. And that's why it's so successful. So, we go from most, if an average country club, if a guy goes out and gets fits by his club pro, the average sale is about $400. And if you go to the performance lab, the average sale for a performance lab is about $1,000.
Aha. So now we know why TaylorMade's paying to do all these installs, right?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
TaylorMade owns and operates them. They're Everyone. TaylorMade employees that run them. And you don't pay more for the clubs. You'd pay the same price as if you went to Golf Galaxy. The only difference is that these are custom built by very, very highly trained golf professionals that really know their stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. And they're all over the place.
Oh, I bet it is.
Pretty much, on the West Coast, East Coast, middle U.S., they're all over the world. There's probably not one that's too far away from wherever you're at. And it's a blast. And you will get better. You will see improvement. And it's almost impossible for us not to improve on what people have in their bags.
And when you say you will see improvement, you just, after one session, is that all it is? You just need one session to get all this information?
Well, it depends on what you're there for. Mm-hmm. Most people come there for club fittings. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, if that's what you're interested in and you don't want to take lessons and you just want to get fit for golf clubs, that's what we do at the performance labs. We basically figure out what it is we need to do to straighten the ball out and make it go farther. And these clubs are so adjustable. And these shafts, we can do pretty much anything we need to get the ball flattened out a little bit. And if you find that, might have a person that's looking for some instruction. And so we get you on the system and we send that information to the golf pro. And, that's now you got all this data that can help you kind of decide, all right, well, I need to kind of work on this piece or I need to work on this piece. And we get the question all the time, well, is it the clubs or is it me? I get probably everybody that comes in to see a lab, they say, well, do I just need to change my swing and I don't need clubs, or do I need new clubs and my swing's fine? And the answer is both. And there's really nobody's the same. Everybody has a little different animal to their golf swing. And some of that might be that mental piece that you were talking about before, or the strategy piece, or they don't have a club that goes a certain distance. And so they're not thinking through very well. But most of it has to do with just most people still to this day, even with all the technology and all the custom fitting out there, they still have never been fit properly. It's staggering to know. It's like still like 75% of the golfing population has never been fit properly for golf clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Or fit at all.
It blows my mind that
it's
people
amazing.
Buy stuff off the rack.
Amazing. To this day, it's like, why would you ever not go through an experience like this to find out why you're doing what you're doing? And it's not expensive. It's fun. and the results are always good. Always.
I have a question for you to address then, because I get this question a lot from listeners, and which is, I'm new to golf, and I'm just developing my swing, so I don't want to get fitted yet, because, you know, as I get better, then I'll go ahead and get fitted. Please respond
to that. Okay, this is a good question. I think it depends on how early you are on at the game and really what your skill set is before. If you're starting, you know, like my 13-year-old son, if he, well, that's not a good example. So my wife is a better example, who does not play golf. She's probably hit a dozen balls in her entire life, you know, but she keeps saying, well, I think at some point, I think I'd like to pick this up.
I know that song.
So she comes out and the question is, well, do I need lessons or do I need new clubs? And I think to a beginner, somebody that is, you know, just starting out, if you give them a golf club that's like too heavy or too long or too stiff, it definitely can change the way they swing the golf club. Mm. But they also need to learn the basic mechanics of the golf swing too. So I still, even to that player, it's both. You do need to be fit, even as a beginner, for golf clubs. It's like, you know, I'm learning how to ride a bike. Do I want to ride a bike that's like, you know, a tricycle or that's like a mountain bike? You know, I kind of figure out I probably should like learn on a bike that kind of fits me a little bit, you know. And I think, you know, what happens is, you know, maybe they start out with one set of clubs, and as they get better, they start compressing the ball or start picking up more speed, then we simply go through the process again. And tour players every week are going through a similar process. They are constantly having their golf clubs adjusted. Hmm. And even at that level, they're getting fit. I mean, there's tour players getting fit every day that are winning. There's tour players that win tournaments that put in new clubs in their bags 2 days before or the day before they won that tournament. So it's not like they get a set of clubs and that's basically their set of clubs for the next 5 years. And some of them are a little more superstitious where they don't want to switch anything, but most of them go through club fittings several times a year. So, and they think, well, they're too good. They're tour players. That's, you know, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, wouldn't that help the average golfer as well?
Yeah.
And maybe it just depends on how much you play and how much you improve and how much you practice. But as you improve, you better get fit, because as something's changing your golf swing, you probably need to adjust equipment piece as well. So there's the answer is really both. Is it the, you know, you need to constantly get fit for your clubs. You need to constantly have those adjustments going on. And for those people who really care about, you know, being the best golfer they can be, I mean, it's like, it's a pretty simple and it's extremely fun. That's the other thing. It's like just, it's
yeah,
a blast.
You keep saying that. And now you're just really getting my appetite wet here for this.
Yeah.
So what we're used to, what we've seen over the last decade or so, is everybody adopting video cameras in their teaching in their teaching bays. And what they'll do is they'll take the one shot of you from in front of you, and then they'll go have you take a couple swings, and they'll be standing behind the ball looking down the line.
Yep.
Okay. And you have these two different images in 2D of what you're doing. What are the major differences of looking at it that way versus your 3D view?
Okay, well, there's one's 2D and one's 3D.
Oh,
one's
wow.
Extremely expensive. You know, the equipment, you know, is $50,000, you know, for the 3D motion capture equipment. And the other one you can buy for $100, you know, and get software to run it for $100.
I mean, I meant from the student, not the teacher.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, that's even from the student's point, that's kind of, you know, we sell these to individuals, not just golf pros, but there's actually wealthy individuals that put these into their home, into their garages and basements.
Get out! Really?
Oh yeah. Oh, you'd be shocked. I mean,
yes, I would.
Some of the man caves out there are just off the chart.
Have you installed one in somebody's house?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. There's two or three here in Portland. Actually, there's three here in Portland. Just of guys, they're friends of mine that have put them into their house.
How close to Nike are you?
I live about 3 miles from Nike, actually.
Aha!
That's a great company. I have so many friends that work there, and you know, they do a good job there.
Oh man, it's just about the store.
That's a great story. But basically the difference in 2D versus 3D is that in 3D we can mathematically measure what's happening, and we cannot do that in 2D. So in other words, if I want to find out what your spine angle is and your inclination to the ground versus or your hips or your knees or your feet, there is some basic software out there that allows you to draw on a 2D image, but that is really an inexact science. You know, it's a very, very crude way of doing it, but it's affordable. If we want the most accurate way to measure things, we're going to go through either motion capture or magnetic resonance, which is like an MRI, to get true 3D information. And so when we go through motion capture, it allows us to basically measure everything. And in that 3D and 2D, I can't look at that same swing from any angle. And if you go to the performance lab, you'll be able to basically look at your golf swing from any angle, and you'll be able to measure it from any angle too. So I can look from above, or I can look from beneath, and I can get all my numbers and see what my spine angle and my shoulders, my hips and my knees are doing. And you just simply can't do that with the video camera. So there's a cost benefit. You know, these motion capture labs are not cheap, but it is affordable to go to them. And so you don't have to buy the equipment. You can actually just go pay a golf professional and go get on the system and, you know, get all your data. And it's extremely affordable and it's very fun. And, you know, so the main difference between those two, though, is that you can measure in 3D. You cannot measure in 2D.
Lots of times golfers, especially guys like me, older golfers, we have some physical limitations, or we have, you know, like not enough flexibility, or we have back pain or knee pain or elbow pain or head pain, or, you know, I mean, just the list goes on and on. How does this system, what kind of impact does this system have for those ailments and limitations?
Well, the motion capture, you know, that just putting the suit on and getting in the system and, you know, hitting a golf ball, you don't have to be, it'll work for the most flexible person or the least flexible person. I mean, so it's not a matter of that. I mean, more what is important to know is, you know, what are my numbers if I'm not very flexible and you want me to compare me to a tour player and I can't do what that tour player does? Well, mm-hmm. What now, you know, and how does that benefit me? And we get that a lot. Like, I think you said it earlier in the podcast, like, I hate it when golf, they compare me to a tour player, mm-hmm. and because they're way more flexible, or I don't know about you, but you know, I got a little gut, you know, going these days, not too bad, but you know, it seems to just keep growing over and over, and I'm not as flexible as I was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so how can I do what they're doing if I'm not that flexible? There is a piece of the book. There's a chapter in the book that talks about fitness with Troy Van Beesen, who is a PGA Tour doc out of Dallas, Texas. And he talks about that in the book, about how to get more flexible. And Mike Malaska also talks about that in the foreword of this book, about how the physical part of golf is getting more and more attention, and how important it is to be able to get your body to do certain things. But the average golfer is not going to go do – I mean, let's face it, the average golfer is not going to go do what he needs to do to get his body in peak performance to perform at that level. So the answer is, well, what can we do with what you have? And there are some indications in this book that are very clearly laid out as to, okay, if I can't move my body as much as the tour player, then what next? What do I do? And there are some key things that every tour player does, regardless of whether they're fat or skinny, that anybody can do. And, you know, you might not be able to hit the ball as far as Dustin Johnson if you're not as flexible, but you can compress the golf ball like him, maybe not at his speed, but you can hit it like he hits it, or like Sergio or whoever, maybe just not at the same speed. But we'll take that. You know, if they're at 120 miles an hour and I'm only at 80, but I can hit that tight little push draw every time and I never hit it fat or thin, man, I'm still shooting, I'm breaking 80 and I'm a happy camper. Sure. I'm breaking 90 and I'm a happy camper. So even if we can't move the way they can, we can put the club in position the way that they've put it in position at our speed that we can do it at. And I think that's really critical. I mean, just because they're able to do it faster doesn't mean that you can't compress the golf ball properly.
What kind of effect has working with this system had on your teaching style?
That's a great question. It has been significant. It has really significantly changed the way I teach. So I've been a golf pro for like 20 years now, I think. You know, I've only been using the mat system for the last 9. So up until then, I'm using video. And I remember at the first club that I was at, I bought this thing called the A-Star, which was just what you described. It was a down-the-line face-on. It was this state of the art thing. I spent $20,000. I remember I made $20,000 a year as a golf pro working for the Oregon Golf Club, and that was my salary. And I took a loan from the bank, and I had my dad co-sign for me, and this thing cost me $20,000. And I was convinced that this was going to help me become a better teacher. And sure enough, I did about $30,000 in lessons that year. So I actually paid for it in 1 year, and I was right. You know, that technology was really at the head of its time. And the same has happened with the mat system. And basically what we've just, you know, the technology improves, we've just learned so much more. I mean, I feel like giving money back to some of the people that I taught when I first taught, because I absolutely did not understand what I know now. And I think that's, you know, I'm mad that I have to admit that, but that's the truth. And I've learned a lot. I understand what the club is doing and why it's doing what it's doing and what happens when it's out of position, what's going to happen if you bend it a certain way, what's going to happen. I'm able to read ball flight correctly. And all of that has been because of the mat system. You know, I've been able to get 1 + 1 = 2 off of that instead of, you know, all the nebulous stuff that I'm guessing on. And honestly, I think that's how it's really helped me as a golf professional. It's just really, I understand the numbers now. And, you know, it helps me diagnose. More importantly, it helps my students understand what I'm trying to say. And that's where the learning curve gets really good. And when we're just not using video at all, or we're just kind of telling, hey, you need to get more forward, or you need to get, stop standing up, or stop, you know, turning so much, or stop moving somewhere. And that's such a horrible thing to tell somebody, because, you know, they're just like, they have no idea what you're trying to tell them. You
exactly.
know, they're like, okay, well, how far, how far do I go? Well, now we can actually say, okay, look, you're at 20 and you need to be at 25, or this is where I'd like you to be at 25 or 30. Well, now you can mathematically measure. So when the next swing happens and you're at 21, and you think, wow, I really felt like I was at 30 that time. I'm like, well, actually, you're only at 21. Okay, so we got to keep going. All right, well, here we go. Let's try it again. Next one, you're at 23. And you're like, whoa, man, that felt like I was really out there. Well, you're not quite there yet. We got to keep going. So that numbers really helps us get the feel down for the player. And it helps them understand what we're really trying to get to them. And an example of this, for example, at the top of the backswing, if you take the average tour player, they go to the top of the backswing, and you take where their belt buckle is. From the top of the backswing to impact, the belt buckle actually moves about 8 inches forward. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just their belt buckle. It moves, you know, if you put your, you know, 8 inches, that's all. That means that they have a lot, that much lateral shift. Their belt buckle shifts to the left that much. Mm. And it actually doesn't move back. As they take the club back, the belt buckle doesn't really move. It turns in a circle more, but it doesn't sway or shift back much at all. And then, but it moves like 8 inches forward. At impact, the belt buckle for a tour player is literally 8 inches more in front of the, is 8 inches closer to the hole than it was at the top of their swing. And the average handicapper is like zero or sometimes negative. You know, their belt buckle actually goes backwards.
Mm.
And so just that simple principle, if we said, okay, I want your belt buckle to go more forward. And they said, okay, and they hit one and they think, oh, that was more forward. And I'm like, well, that didn't go forward. And they're looking at me like, yes, it did go forward. I'm like, no, it didn't go forward. So now it's your word versus mine. And now that I have something to measure it with, now they believe me better, right? So if I say, okay, well, your belt buckle moved 2 inches that time. Okay, well, that felt like 10 inches to me. I'm like, well, we got to keep going. Well, I can't. My body won't work. Okay, well, let's work on what we can do. Let's get as much as we can. Okay, the next swing, they get out to 4 or 5. And now they're like, wow, that really hit that ball solid. Okay, well, now that's why. You need your belt buckle to move more forward. It's a very simple concept. When you can measure stuff, people learn faster. They understand you better. They believe it more. It's easier to implement. when they miss it out on the golf course, they don't just say, screw it, and I'm just going to go back to what I was doing, you know, which is what happens. You know, they just kind of go back to what feels comfortable and they, you know, keep playing that sword fight. But now that you've given them a number, hey, I need to get you to 10. And then they know that if I don't get there, I'm not going to hit that shot that I was practicing. So that's the way that this technology can really impact a player. And just that feedback of knowing what that number is, man, that math is huge. Just like a doctor, you know, the doctor cuts, you know, does a surgery on your leg. You know, he needs to go in and he needs to measure, okay, I need to cut this much off. You know, he's not just in there saying, oh, it looks pretty good. Then here we go, boom. You know, they're measuring stuff. I mean, no different in golf. Mm. No different.
When someone goes in, God, the book is so much fun because of the pictures. These avatars are really, really helpful. They really say a lot. Yeah. And you got the lines in there. When someone comes in to work with one of these MAT-T systems, it's pronounced MAT-T?
Well, no, we just call it the MAT system.
Okay, the MAT system.
But so, the T has a hyphen because it's bi-tailoring.
Yeah, right. MAT-T dot dash T. So with the MAT system, when someone comes in, and obviously, you know, they're going to learn something about their swing and what clubs would actually be the best club for them. I'm assuming it's always going to be a tailor-made club. It's not going to come out as, you know what, I think the ping irons would be much better for you.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's not going
to
happen.
You go to a tailor-made performance lab, you are not going to get fit by anything else. Yeah, it's a tailor-made product. Yeah.
Okay. So how much do you learn about which ball you should be playing?
Well, that's a great question. The balls are so different now with, you know, different compressions and different covers and different cores. And, you know, we can – that's part of the fitting is we do a ball fitting and we tell you exactly what kind of ball you should have and why you should have it. So it's not so much like a lot of the guys just say, yeah, just tell me what I need and I'll play it. But the beauty is when we tell somebody why they need to play it, that's when their real learning happens. And that's when they can really start to pay attention. Ah, that ball stops. Or no, I need this ball to go farther or I need it to roll more. But the balls are so good nowadays, you know, that everybody makes good balls. And
But TaylorMade, you know, makes the best.
TaylorMade makes the best ball. But they make great balls. Everybody makes great. You know, let's face it. Everybody makes really good golf clubs. If TaylorMade obviously dominates on tour. But if TaylorMade was the only company to make good golf equipment, then every tour player, regardless of how much they were paid, would play those golf clubs. And that's, I think, TaylorMade's secret to their success on the tour, is, and in retail too, is the fact that they are so adjustable, and they can make stuff. They can bend and pull and make stuff that, you know, I don't see the other manufacturers doing. So you can really adjust stuff to really fine tune. I think that's where they do really well. But that being said, everybody makes pretty good equipment now, and the USGA has kind of tied everybody's hands a little bit. Yeah. So it's kind of you know, shortened that learning curve for some of the companies. And That's kind of where we're at.
When you say adjust, are you talking about the adjustable head drivers and the adjustable shafts, things like that?
Yep.
Are those really valuable for the average player who really doesn't understand any of this? Because they don't know what they're going to make adjustments, and then they're going to be fiddling with it all, you know, like they fiddle with their swing all during a round, and now they're fiddling with their driver all, you know, with every hole. Is that
so? Let's say I'll take you through a typical fitting. So basically what we do is we'll have you hit seven or eight drives and some putts and some chips and some wedge shots. And we kind of go through those numbers. And then we basically are able to identify what it is you do on average, or, you know, what your trends are. So when we know that, you know, the average golfer might think, well, my ball never does the same thing ever. You know, sometimes it hooks, sometimes it slices, sometimes it's low, and sometimes it's high. Well, ultimately what's happened is your swing path, I don't care really what level of player you are, your swing path or the direction the club swings is actually very consistent. It's very rare that we'll see one player go out to in 5 degrees, and then on the very next swing, we'll see it go in to out, unless the player is dramatically trying to do something different. What does change a lot is the club face. The average player, you know, has a lot different. The club face changes a lot. So on one swing, the face might be closed. One swing, the face might be open. So if I'm coming over the top like the average golfer is, and my face is closed, the ball's going to go left and left again. It's going to pull hook. On that same swing, if I kept the face more open, I would either top it or the ball would slice. So to an average player, those two swings look totally different. I topped one, I sliced one, and I hooked one. I mean, you know, my swing does something different every time. Well, the truth of it is that the swing's doing the same thing. What's changing is the club face at impact. So something you're doing at the bottom of your golf swing that's adjusting that club face. The club face determines the direction the ball starts. The swing path determines the direction the ball curves. So what a lot of people think is, well, I don't have the same swing every time. You know, I'm not good enough to get fit. Well, what we can identify here is what you do on average and what your trends are. Then we can adjust to it. So let's say you do come over the top and you slice it every time. Well, TaylorMade makes a very unique product in this movable weight technology where you can actually adjust the center of gravity of a golf club to either close the face more or keep it more open. You can also adjust the shaft to make the face go a little bit more left. Or you can adjust the loft of the club to make it go higher or lower. So that movable weight technology is so critical, and it's almost never do we send somebody out of a performance lab with a stock club. I mean, we always are moving weights to optimize what's happening. When you go to a golf club, I would say the majority of people that go to Golf Galaxy and buy a golf club off the rack never adjust their driver, right? Ever. And that's what most golfers do. They basically buy it and they don't adjust it. And that's really the sad part about it, because I'm like, you know, if you just would come in and spend a little bit of time with a really good professional, we can explain to you what all that stuff means. And it's really fun to learn.
Well, this is awesome. And the book is out now. It's
hard.
Available.
No, it's not crazy. This is not like rocket science here. This is not to make it. Yes, the book today actually is the first day. You can go to Amazon.com, and it's basically Drive Like the Pros by Michael Neff.
Well, it's going to be available at golfsmarter.com and our Golfers Mart.
Great.
Yeah, we will definitely put it up there. So if anybody wants to take a look at this, just go to golfsmarter.com if you want to buy this book. Again, it's called Drive Like the Pros by Michael Neff. What about website? Where do we go to see more about this?
It's actually called michaelneffgolf.com.
MichaelNeffGolf.net, you know, because on the publicity thing, it said 3dgolfer.net.
It'll also go there.
Yep. Well, actually, I just tried to go to 3dgolfer.net, and it said doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's,
so what is it, Michael?
MichaelNeffGolf.com.
And N-E-F-F.
The reason why the book beat our website opening.
I see.
So you might want to, right now you got to basically go to Amazon or your website.
Yeah. Boy, I just tried michaelneffgolf.com and it said, nope, that doesn't exist either.
No, it's, we are very close to finishing that up.
Okay. So well,
they got ahead of us a little bit. So.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
And this is, if somebody wants to go in and get fitted with one of these systems, with the mat system, they want to play with the mat system and see what it's like. Cause right now I do. It's only available in the United States?
Oh, no. It's a global product.
It is global.
And,
great.
Yes. If you go to TaylorMadeGolf.com,
that does exist.
There's a tab that does exist. Yes. And you'll be able to, there's a thing that says fitting, and then under that, it'll say TaylorMade Performance Labs, and you put in where you live, and it'll tell you the closest one. The next TaylorMade Performance Lab is opening in Shanghai, China. And then the following one in about a month from now, it's going to be, there's a new one in Cologne, Germany.
Do you get to go do those installations?
Yeah, I do those installations.
Sweet.
And then we just finished the one in Dubai. And there's also one now in Madrid, Spain at Santander. A wonderful facility. And but they're literally all over the world. And really, it's an amazing product.
So you're traveling a lot.
Travel a lot, yep.
Yeah, because on your dedication page, you listed like two pages worth of children.
Yeah, I got five kids, and
oh,
I have triplets.
Man.
You know, I have
triplets?
I have 4-year-old triplets, and I have the best wife in the world that lets me do what I do and allows me to travel even with these little kids at home. So when I'm home, I basically, she goes away and says, all right, kids are yours, honey, and
yeah.
So we have a nice little tandem going, and
tag team.
It's been difficult, but it's also a real blessing. And
Oh my God, that's incredible! So please tell me you had two kids first, then the triplets arrives. You didn't have more kids after the triplets.
No. This world of in vitro fertilization is just fascinating. So we have I have a 13-year-old, an 8-year-old, and then 4-year-old triplets.
Wow!
And there's two boys. So basically, that pretty much. Takes between what I'm doing and with the kids, I'm pretty busy, but it's awesome.
That's great. Congratulations. That's beautiful. That is great. Thank you for so much of your time. This is, we've been going for quite a while here and I've been fascinated by it. Again, the book is Drive Like the Pros, TaylorMade's Matt System. And here's the important part you need to know. Increase your club head speed and distance using the revolutionary 3D technology by TaylorMade by Michael Neff with Dave Allen. Michael, thank you really for giving me so much of your time because kids are screaming in the background.
Well, I really appreciate your time and I just appreciate your support of this book. And it's really, it sounds a little technical, but it's really simple and it's fun to read and it's really a fun experience. I would encourage all your listeners to go to Performance Lab and get their numbers, just get your numbers. Let's learn about what you're doing and why you're doing it so that we can get better.
I'm in. I'm going. Hey, thank you to Golf Smarter members Joshua Vow of Atlanta, Georgia, and Batome Aoun of Phoenix, Arizona. If I'm mispronouncing your name, which I know I am, I really am sorry. It's a unique, beautiful name, but I can't pronounce it. And listen, I'm going to be down in the Scottsdale area at the beginning of April. So write to me, Batome, and maybe I'll buy you a cup of coffee or we'll go putting together or something because I mispronounced your name. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to drag it on. Anyway, these two Golf Smarter members are the most recent to have renewed their membership this past week. So congratulations, because each of you are going to receive a free 30-count bottle of Alpha Brain, courtesy of On It Labs. Thank you to them for their support and to you for your continued support. Remember, recently we met Mark Sweeney, the creator of the Aimpoint putting system and curriculum. Sure, it's nice to hear how he invented it and that he was able to get the networks interested. But what about how it's being received by instructors? You know, he's got a curriculum. Who's using it? And what do they think? Well, coming up next, we've got two episodes with John Graham, a PGA certified and Aimpoint certified instructor who does not teach swing mechanics anymore because he's traveling all over the country teaching Aimpoint full time. He fully buys into this and will tell us more about why it's valid and what he loves about it. Of course, next up, we'll also have our Score Zone Short Game Academy with the Wedge Guy answering your short game questions. So please submit your question today. And if Terry answers your question on the show, you're going to receive a free Score 41-61 Wedge Scoring Club. You know, it's going to be indoctrinated into you too as well. So to submit your questions, just click on the Score Zone Short Game Academy button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.